One of the Church's greatest needs is a sensitive awareness of the world around us. If we are true servants of Jesus Christ, we will keep our eyes open, as he did, to human need, and our ears alert to cries of anguish. We will respond compassionately and constructively, as again he did, to people's pain. This does not mean that in every respect we let the world set the agenda for the Church, as people used to say, or that we trot like a little dog at the world's heels. To behave like that would be to confuse service, which is our calling, with servility, which is not, and to interpret sensitivity, which is a virtue, as conformity, which is a vice. No, first and foremost, we have to declare and do what God has sent us to declare and do. We are not to pay fawning homage to the world. At the same time, unless we listen attentively to the voices of secular society, struggle to understand them, and feel with people in their frustration, anger, bewilderment, and despair, we will lack authenticity as the disciples of Jesus of Nazareth. We will run the risk of answering questions nobody is asking, scratching where nobody is itching, supplying goods for which there is no demand. In other words, of being totally irrelevant, as we began to see in our introduction. This chapter explores the threefold quest of modern, secular people, which in fact reflects universal human aspirations. They are hopes which Jesus Christ himself arouses in people, which he alone can satisfy, and which challenge the Church to present him to the world in his fullness. The quest for transcendence. Until quite recently, many assumed that secularism would gradually expel any religious sensibilities from society. Transcendence was seen as a rather obscure word whose use was limited to institutions of theological learning. There, students were introduced to the distinction between transcendence, meaning God above and outside the created world, and immanence, meaning God present and active within it. But increasingly, people are recognizing that even in modern cultures, the quest for transcendence goes on. This quest is a kind of protest against secularization, that is, against the attempt to eliminate God from our own world. Human beings do not live on bread alone, for materialism cannot satisfy the human spirit. Consider some examples of the recent disillusionment with secularism and the persistent search for transcendence. First, there was the collapse of European Marxism in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Marxism was originally presented as a substitute for outmoded religious faith, but converts were few and far between. As Canon Trevor Beeson wrote about Eastern Europe, "The basic doctrines of communism have neither convinced the minds nor satisfied the emotions of the intelligentsia or of the proletariat. On the other hand, religious life has displayed remarkable resilience and, far from disappearing, has in many instances found new vitality and power." The Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn drew attention to something which the leaders of the former Soviet Union had not expected. That in a land where churches have been levelled, where a triumphant atheism has rampaged uncontrolled for 2/3 of a century, where clergy are utterly humiliated and deprived of all independence, where what remains of the Church as an institution is tolerated only for the sake of propaganda directed at the West, where even today people are sent to the labour camps for their faith, and where within the camps themselves those who gather to pray at Easter are clapped in punishment cells, they, i.e. the Soviet leaders, could not suppose that beneath this communist steamroller the Christian tradition could survive in Russia. But there remain many millions of believers. It is only external pressures that keep them from speaking out. The second sphere in which people are seen to be disillusioned with secularism is the desert of Western materialism. Secularism is no more satisfying to the human spirit in its capitalist than in its communist guise.